Welcome to Disruptive CEO Nation, where company founders, entrepreneurs, and cutting-edge thinkers drop in from around the globe to share startup stories, insider insights, and hard-earned success lessons. Now, here's your host, a woman who mastered business by placing heels on the ground all over the world, having worked with and coached CEOs and senior leaders from over 90 countries, and who wants you to build your best business future, Allison K. Summers.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Disruptive CEO Nation. You know, I love globe hopping. I've worked in over 35 countries, and I am always looking for tools and resources that help that globally minded business person. And so today, I'm just so thrilled to bring to you the co-founder of Ling, who's going to tell us all about the platform and how it can help everyone in very simple terms learn new languages, or at least learn enough to go in and operate at the right level to up your business game. So with that, I want to introduce you to Simon Bucker, who is the co-founder of Ling. Simon, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Allison. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so I gave the prep, but tell everybody in very practical terms what wonderful thing Ling does for your customers today.
Right. So Ling is a gamified language learn app, and we support currently like 60 languages to learn. We specialize mostly on Asian and Eastern European languages. So these are really the hard languages that really take time and effort to learn. And one of the unique feature that we also have is like to learn how to read and write, because as opposed to say English and Spanish, in languages like Thai or Chinese, you don't have the Latin alphabet. And so you also have to know how to read and write. So that's one of the features that we also offer there.
Yeah, and I love the visuality to it. So I want our listeners to know, while we're talking about an app, you can go to the website and take a look and try it out and see the demos and really understand how it interacts. And so I think, Simon, that leads to my first question is, you started this in 2016, and in some ways this can be considered a crowded market. So give us the motivation behind, you know, what was your inspiration and why you thought you could do it differently?
Exactly. So in the beginning, it started probably way before 2014 or something. I'm from Germany originally, and my wife is from Thailand. And back then she was my girlfriend, and we were studying in Germany together, and I wanted to learn Thai from her mainly, but I also wanted to supplement it with apps. And then back then there was really no app out there, like even Phrasebooks. There was some Phrasebooks, but they weren't really great in the language of Thai. And so what we did was to create a little prototype, because I'm a developer originally. So we just together, next to our jobs, we created a little prototype for a Phrasebook for tourists, basically. Also, you could learn from that, but it's basically just a list of phrases, and then you can play the recording. And my wife recorded it back then. And so that actually surprisingly made some income on the side. So we made some income on the side with that. And then at some point we said, hey, we can quit our job on a couple of $100 per month. But we can't live in Germany with that, but we can live in Thailand. And so we just went to Thailand, quit our jobs and went to Thailand and expanded this Phrasebook. So that was that Phrasebook that we expanded into many more languages. And then after that, we realized, hey, like there's people also want to learn the language, not only like have a Phrasebook for tourists, right? So they also want to really learn and like understand how do you say a sentence yourself from the app, right? And so that's why I know we were inspired from other apps that were out there. Duolingo is one example that people know probably a lot. So we are inspired by that and say, hey, this gamification really works, but it's not really available for languages like Thai. And also some aspects don't really work that well in existing apps, because again, in Thai language is a little bit different. It's as I mentioned, it doesn't have the Latin alphabet, but also there are tones. So you have to understand the differences between the tones. There are some intricacies there where we said, hey, we can't do this better for these specific languages. And then Yeah, we started from Thai and went out and also expanded into more languages with this Ling app. Yeah. And that's basically
the fact that it's the farthest thing in my mind, it's the farthest thing away from academic. It really is very playful, and the brand is very intentional on how playful it is. And I'm very honest when I tell listeners, you know, take a look at a website and check it out, because it is a playful brand. And so I wanted to ask you about, you know, how you developed that brand, or how the brand evolved for you as your product lines evolved.
Yeah. So it looked pretty differently when we started. We had always this monkey in mind, because I think it's a cool thing. Many people don't know it, but Ling means Thai. Sorry, Ming Ling means monkey in Thai. Mm-hmm. And Ling is also for linguistics. So I think it's a cool name for that. And then we came up with, because of that name aspect, we came up with the monkey. And it's also nice because we wanted to be, as you mentioned, we want to be really playful, because people are often scared to even start learning Thai or Chinese, other languages that are really, really hard. And so we wanted to make them feel that it's not that hard. So so this playfulness and the monkey gives kind of a nice ring to it, and like makes it easier for people to start. And so, yeah, in the beginning, it looked like the monkey had like a ling on his head. So written on the head, and it was a bit more detailed, like the monkey itself has a bit more detailed design. And so over time we simplified it a little bit. Now it's like much more modern and simplified, because yeah, we started like 5-6 years ago. So the design paradigms also changed. So but in the beginning, the design, we actually hired a local designer. We still work with her. She's really great. And she just asked us about like a couple of questions, like, how do you want the brand to feel like? And then we came up with, because the monkey also likes bananas, and then you can also collect bananas in the game. So then that was actually also her idea. We came up together with that. And so then she designed the first prototype of the brand, and then we went from there. And yeah, we did some rebrandings over time, but the yellow or the orange color scheme still is there, and people really like it.
Hey, I want to ask you about, you know, what it's like to be an entrepreneur in Thailand, because when we were talking before we started recording, you were talking about, and I could see the pride in your eyes about the wonderful talent that you've been able to source. So have you found being able to launch and develop a business in Thailand has been, say, easier than compared to Germany or compared to other entrepreneurs when you're comparing notes from where they're at, or just unique and different?
Yeah, it's definitely very different. Back then when we came, there was this huge digital nomad explosion. It was like 2015, 2016. There were a lot of influencers also in Chiang Mai. Like, when I'm in Chiang Mai, not in Bangkok. Like, most people probably know Bangkok if they're thinking about Thailand. But then Chiang Mai is a northern city, is a little bit smaller, but still quite big, like probably like 500,000 or 1 million people in here, depending on how you count. But it's like, back then there was a really huge, huge influx of these digital nomads coming, because the city is great. It's like, it's easy to live there. It's cheap. And it's the locals are nice. The weather is amazing. The food is great. It's kind of a paradise here. The only thing that's missing is a beach, but you can kind of book a 1 hour flight if you want to go to the beach as well. And so a lot of people are drawn to it. And then that started like a community of digital nomads. And so they're like pretty much every person that you meet or like that's not local, they're like in some way they have their own business, or they start something, they have the travel blog, or they're freelancers, or they have their own companies, because it's not really, they're not really a lot of companies that you can do a 9-to-5 job here. So it's kind of like automatically in every conversation there's something with, hey, like what are you starting, and so on. And so that was a fantastic environment. We actually wanted to be digital nomads in the beginning, but then we kind of got stuck here for 7 years because it was so great. But to answer your question, like our talent, in the beginning, most of the time we needed recorders, because we, as I mentioned, we had this Facebook in Thai, but then we wanted to expand it into 40-50 other languages. And then you need all of these native speakers. And so we literally just went to the university and set up a little studio, because it's very hard to find a place that is quiet here to record, because there's even like there's still a lot of roosters and dogs barking in this town. So it took us quite a long time to find a good place to record. And then we just hired native speakers, because that's also great here. So many international people are here from all over the world, from different places in Asia, but also Europe, Arabic, Africa, everywhere. Pretty much you can find a lot of people here to help you. And then, yeah, we just hired them to do the native speaking recording and translation and to create the content of the app. And then later on, we also started hiring, like, say, developers. And developers are, it's a great market here as well, because a lot of people, there's good universities here, so you can hire also local people. And a lot of them speak really great English. And yeah, it's great value, of course. So that's how we started it.
I want to talk about the culture, because one of the things that I observed when I went and looked at the website is you have all of your team. And that shows a lot of value and respect for them as individual workers, that it's not just your senior leadership. You've got like everybody on there. And I thought that was interesting. So can you tell us just, we don't have time to go through all of your pillars for your values and your culture, but can you give our listeners just a sense of a couple that you really hold on to as core corporate values for Ling?
Yeah. So yeah, we have 7 values, and that was a really good decision, I think, from our or like from the whole company side, that we had a workshop at one point like 2 or 3 years ago, where we said, okay, like, let's find our values together, and not just that we decide as leaders or something. And I think back then we were like 20 people or something, and so we just came everyone together, and then we did some workshops and discussed, and then we came up with these 7. And these are really important. Like one of the values is curious, because I think it's really important for a language learner app that everyone is curious and like wants to learn a ton more all the time. Then another one is supportive, because that's also really important to us, that we support each other and have each other's back. And yeah, we are really engaged in Slack, so that's what we use, because not everyone here is in, about half of our team is remote actually, so we have to also manage that. And this communication, the supportive communication is really important throughout the day, and to make sure that everyone works together really well. And another one is entrepreneurial. Maybe that's also interesting, because if that's maybe also the reason why we put everyone in the company on the website, because we really think that everyone should be able to make a difference in the company. We're also really transparent with everything that we share. So we share also our revenue, our whatever, like everything that's important for the business, we share with everyone in the company, regardless if they're in the customer support, if they're in management or in marketing or developers. So, and that really empowers people as well to be a little, everyone is kind of, encouraged to be like, to think as a business, think entrepreneurial. So that made a really big difference.
I appreciate you sharing that. I want to talk about the fact that you've shared that you bootstrapped this to start with. So have you been able to continue that through? Have you taken on any investors? Tell us just a little bit about that scenario.
No, so it's been bootstrapped, and it's still 100% bootstrapped. We don't actively look for investors. We do have some ideas for the future now AI comes in to play, and we also have some good ideas, I think, that how we can take this thing to the next level. But at some point, then it gets really capital. It can get really capital intensive. So that's why we're going to think about that. But up until now, it's 100% bootstrap. We have to be profitable every month to be able to pay everyone, basically, right? So I think it's possible. It's really possible in places like here, because when I look around, like other business founders here, pretty much most of the business here are bootstrapped. Just because the way of thinking is, it's not like that you have to raise millions and millions of dollars in advance. I think it has, we also have seen in the last 1 or 2 years that the capital has dried down a lot, but I think it hasn't really affected the community here, because most of them don't rely on investor money anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
well, nice. Let's talk about revenue generation. I know you have one. I think, you know, we established before, an app is a competitive space. The language space is a competitive space. But if you're really carving out your niche in these Asian and Eastern European languages, it gives you a different advantage. So I have kind of two things I'd like for you to share with our listeners. Is one, the business model and the pricing model, because I know you have a trial, you have subscription, but you also have a lifetime access, which I thought the lifetime access was an incredibly reasonable price. And then, as I joke and say, you're not paying me to say that. I'm sharing my personal opinions, having looked at so many different things. And then, and where is your market coming from? Where are your biggest buyers coming from? So just a little bit about your pricing model, and then, you know, yep, where the audience mm-hmm. is coming from.
Sure, yeah. So as you mentioned, we are a freemium app. So we do have content that's completely free. And if you want the advanced content, if you want to learn more, then we offer for that a subscription or a lifetime. And that's also for all the languages. So you get, for that subscription, for that lifetime, you get all the 50 languages, the 60 languages that we currently offer. So I think, yeah, it's a great deal. But
it's a great deal.
we might have to change this in the future. Right now, it's still a fantastic deal. When you ask about lifetime, yes, we do offer it. Most of the people, like the most popular plan, is still yearly. We also offer a 7 days trial for the yearly. So yeah, people can try that. And often they end up with a subscription, like a yearly subscription is pretty happy. They're pretty happy with that. The lifetime works in some countries better than others. For example, in the US, the lifetime is actually also quite popular. Our main customers are from the US, Western European countries, and also Japan, Korea. So it's basically developed countries, if you want to say so. But they might be actually in Thailand. So there might be a lot of expats that are in Thailand, but originally from the US or Australia and so on. But we also have a lot of users in India, because we also offer Tamil, Bengali, and Urdu, Marathi, all of the Indian languages. And for these kind of users, the monetization is a little bit more challenging, because they are often used to more either, yeah, pay a very low price or just have ads in the app. Right now, we don't have any ads in the app. We experimented a little bit in the past, but it didn't work too well back then. But this is something that we really want to also explore for countries that people are less willing to pay a higher price, that we'll just offer ads. So for example, you could watch a video to unlock certain content. That's something we also look into right now. Yeah.
Well, if I asked you what the vision is for the next 2, 3, 5 years, what's the hope for Ling?
Yeah. So we identified 4 different personas that are really important for us. And so one is, I can just talk quickly about the personas so that then I can expand on that. So it's expats and people preparing to be an expat. And then we have people who learn the language for dating purposes. Uh-huh. And the fourth one is heritage explorers. So people who are, for example, from Serbia originally, but they don't speak Serbian anymore because they live in the US for a long time, and then they learn their language. the language of the parents or the grandparents. So these four personas we want to really serve really well. And what we realize is that a lot of people, they're struggling with tones. And this is something we already offer with our speaking game right now, that you can compare how well you speak compared to a native speaker. But there's a lot of, especially for tonal languages, there's a lot of room for improvement there. So we try to, serve the user better for like understanding how you speak different tones. So that's really big. That would be a really good game changer if we can do that. We also incorporate AI. We have a chatbot that is really nice. Like, people really like it. But right now it's like predetermined answers. So you can kind of pick an answer and also record your own voice, and like then and it will understand you if you say it right. But then moving forward, we also try to integrate this with AI and like be able to not replace tutors, but like give a really interactive experience for language learners without having to hire a language teacher.
Well, I love your personas, and I love how your persona, how you have a dating persona, because I absolutely love how your story started with wanting to speak to your wife in her native language. I think that is like a very charming business story, that you can build this kind of multilingualistic empire based on that personal need. So I really appreciate that. Hey, Simon, what do you do for fun and relaxation? What do you do to when you're not
doing
your business?
So being in Thailand, I pretty much almost every day go in the morning, I go to this for a swim. And so they have really great pools here, and that's really my main thing. We also go running next month. There's like trail runs here, which I really enjoy. Like, my parents will visit us, and we'll go for there. And I also play board games a lot, like these strategy board games. that's a lot of fun to me.
So I have a quick quiz for you. How many countries in the world speak German as their primary language?
There would be four. And it must be more. It must probably be a few more. But
my research has six.
German. Oh, six. Okay. So it's Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and then parts of Liechtenstein. Right? And Luxembourg?
Yeah, it'd be very difficult to go through all the languages that your app offers and then be sure that you could list all the countries. I just wanted to see if you could do that with your native tongue. So I don't have them. You know, I joke and I say I've traveled all over the world. I do not speak another language. Spanish, I should speak Spanish. I've taken enough years of it and I can understand it when I listen to it. But I rely on resources like yours to help bring me along. So I'm really grateful that you are doing what you're doing in the world. I'm very grateful that you are offering such a friendly alternative to, the daunting things. Like, in my mind, when you say, I'm going to buy and learn Rosetta Stone, I'm like, oh, that sounds so heavy. And I'm sure it's not, but I like things that are easy. And like I said, I would tell our listeners, go take a look at the sample. Maybe you're not interested in learning another language, but just go see what else is out there, because someday you might want to be an expat, or you might want to be a heritage explorer. And I think it's nice to know that your organization exists for that. Hey, Simon, if people want to learn more, do more, connect with you, where should they go and what should they do?
Yeah, great. So if you want to check out our app, just go on lingup.com, of course. I'm available pretty much on LinkedIn mostly, or Facebook, but you can just search my name, Simon Bacher, and I'm happy to connect.
Well, thank you. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, just if you are around in Thailand or Chiang Mai, hit me up because it's a great place to be, but also a great place to live. So it's a tourist paradise, but yeah, we have a lot of people who actually started to be tourists, but then suddenly they ended up staying here for a lot longer. So it's really so if anyone thinks about going to Thailand or Bangkok, Chiang Mai, or any other place near in Asia, let me know. I'll hook you up with the
Thanks for that.
right.
That might be one of the nicest offers my guests have made to the audience. Just come see Simon if you want to go to Thailand. I think that sounds delightful. Hey, and to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If Simon said something that you think somebody else needs to hear, pass along a copy of this episode. And if there's a disruptive and interesting company founder CEO that you think we need to speak to, send me a note at connect@alisonksummers.com. Until we speak again, keep your eye on the future and always be disruptive. Simon, just thank you again for being a guest.
Thank you very much.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.